present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a BBC News cutting read by Carolyn Brown.
Police officers in Greater Manchester are to wear name badges as part of a commitment to customer service. Following negotiations, police working undercover will be allowed to take off their badge.
Thanks to Mark White for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first on my right the stalwart of the show, Andy Hamilton, along with the newcomer to the show, stand-up Milton Jones. Opposite them on my left, Will Smith and Jeremy Hardy. Andy, whose tampering with the court has been quite unappealing?
Ah, right, hang on. Note to self. Don't call David Miliband a liar. Yeah, this is this government obviously going for a record of the government with the highest number of law-breaking decisions or activities. Basically, they've been trying to cover up our complicity in the torture of an individual. And at the heart of it seems to be an obsession within the government that they mustn't upset the Americans. So the Americans told us in confidence that they tortured somebody. And the worst thing you can do is betray a confidence, isn't it?
The government's lawyer has intervened saying, can you modify the judgment because it reflects badly on MI5, which I find a curious argument. It's like saying, can you not say he's guilty of GBH because people might think he's a bit violent?
You could have this in court more often. A judge says, I find the defendant guilty. And you think, I just wondered if the court might reconsider whether the word not is not necessary in this decision.
David Miliband appeared on various news programmes defending it with that rather lofty Olympian, oh, it's no good looking for conspiracy theories, mixture of the patronising and the infantile. And he did an astonishingly infantile thing with Jon Snow. There was a moment where Miliband was trying to bombard Jon Snow with legal detail, and Jon Snow said, well, yes, everything you said is true. And Miliband triumphantly said, everything I've said is true. Can we just get that on the record, please? Which was absolutely puerile. You thought meant to be Minister of the Crown, not some fifth former.
He is the weirdest looking, isn't he? He's the oddest looking.
He looks like if you punched him in the face, it would leave an imprint. Like he's like a white morph.
Well, the ruling indicated that MI5 were devious, dishonest and complicit in torture. And I thought, well, to be honest, the first two are exactly what I want in a security service.
It is depressing. I mean, I still cling to this belief that spies are all like Alec Guinness and Smiley's people. And they're not. They're like Vinnie Jones in The Mean Machine.
I was thinking, detained without trial, dressed in orange, ask questions they don't know the answers to. How would you like to work in Homebase?
The government has broken a 400-year-old legal precedent which prevents lawyers from secretly communicating with the courts by having their Foreign Office lawyer privately ask a judge to remove details from the Court of Appeals decision in the Binyam Mohammed case. Lord Neuberger initially submitted to the government's request until somebody reminded him that, as master of the rolls, he was just in charge of the sandwiches. 2 points to Andy. Milton, which age-old concern is taxing Brown?
Gordon Brown has suddenly come up with an idea of letting elderly people stay in their homes for longer. I think it's called the Elderly Bill, or that might be one of the people he's trying to help, I'm not sure. I mean, my grandfather, he can't do what he used to, bomb the Japanese. Apparently there's a law against that. But their councils up and down the country are saying, nice idea, but hang on a minute, who's going to pay for this?
Well, this notion of a death tax.
I don't think they should call it that.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good.
Death stars, isn't it? The death tax.
I can't pay death duties because I do self-assessment. So what's... And once you have to file online as well, it'll be hopeless. They'll never get the dead to pay anything. It'll be rubbish.
Do you think you could, with withhold your death tax if you felt you weren't getting your money's worth. It's like heaven's not up to the hump.
Death didn't pan out as you hoped.
Yeah.
But I don't understand the government policy of trying to get old people stay in their homes when they also don't want anyone to be able to retire. If we're supposed to keep working, we're going to have to go out, aren't we? Labour's plan is that we will not be able to retire until we've only got sufficient remaining strength to dissolve a Werther's original if we keep our mouths firmly closed and the heating on full.
Cameron's got a foolproof plan for keeping the elderly in their home. More butlers, which I think... I think that would work very well.
There is a time bomb, though, isn't there? There's a population... time bomb because...
Well, that's my granddad again, I think.
Because there's going to be a lot of elderly people. And
pardon?
Is that the future? The future... I think the legislation I would bring in is that in 20 years' time, all old people are allowed to stop a young person in the street and just say, give us all your money. And if they don't, you just keep them there telling them endless anecdotes about people they don't know over and over again until they give it to you.
But how's it going to work? Because none of us have got the money to retire. None of us have got any pensions. How are we going to get this 20 grand? The older people had the 60s, they had all that sex, and nobody knew that drugs were bad for you, and they had all that marvellous time in the 60s, and now they're all on final salary pensions. And we will have nothing, and we know that sex is not good for you, and we're not allowed to have drugs, and we've got no money. It's an appalling.
My auntie Eileen, she's getting on a bit now, and she's always going on about who just died. Do you remember Arthur? He's just died. Do you remember Mervyn? He's just died. I said, Auntie, get off the roof and give me the gun.
My dear father, who used to carry in his wallet a cartoon from Punch, and it was two very old men in a home. You know those chairs with the wings so that you don't fall out? You know those chairs? They were sitting there, and one of them said to the other one, just think, if we hadn't given up smoking and drinking, we'd have missed all this. Labour's plans to extend social care for the elderly have come under attack from local councils and the Conservatives over the question of how it would be funded. Gordon wants to roll out free care at home for the elderly after some extremely successful trials at Sandringham, Balmoral, Windsor and the House of Lords. 2 points to Milton. We'll have a listen to this.
This is a hit by the popular combo, the Sex Pistols.
And in those days, you could hear every word.
Yep. You could hum the tune.
Will, how might the economy avoid another right royal mess?
I think it was last November, the Queen was visiting the LSE, and she asked some economists how come nobody saw the credit crunch coming. And they've got back to her and said, basically, well, if you'd have asked the government, they might have had to think about it, and they might have worked out that we were going to be in trouble. So they're thinking that if the Queen just asks people about stuff, they might actually do their jobs.
Is that all it would have taken? Somebody
apparently the Queen has these powers. Fast forward in 10 years' time, she'll be fighting crime by night dressed as a corgi.
It just
makes you think, though, there are other things she could also ask that would have saved a lot of bother. Like, to her husband, she could insist that any off-the-cuff remarks he makes are submitted to her in writing beforehand.
Doesn't Gordon Brown have to go and see her every week or something? What do they do? She said, let's go on the wee. Come on. It'll be a right laugh, Gordon.
How is explaining the economy to an old lady every month going to help? All she's going to do is say, do you know, sixpence was a lot of money when I was a little girl.
Also, if she wants any more money, all she has to do is cover her face with ink and print off a few 50s.
That's a good point, actually. Counting money for her must be like looking through an old photo album.
Does she get royalties? Is that where it comes from? Does she get money, like a cut of every note that's printed?
The Queen should have image rights, yeah. Imagine being the Queen's agent, picking up the phone and saying, my girls, she's not putting in anything, the ermine, the crown, nothing. She's like, yeah, well, you can open your parliament on your own. Be brilliant, wouldn't it? Because, go find another Queen, go on, at this kind of notice.
Just a quick bonus, actually, while we're on the subject of older people. Can anybody tell me about the story about the four German pensioners, what they did about their money?
Yeah, they kidnapped their financial advisor. And they did. They drove him to some hut in the mountains and got him to promise to give back the €2.5 million that he lost for them on the US housing market.
Apparently, and this is absolutely true, yeah. He was knocked out with one of their walking frames. Yeah.
It's like Last of the Summer Wine meets Goodfellas. Yeah, he got away because they got him to write some facts saying he'd given the money to send to his Swiss bank, and he put a message on it for the police telling him he'd been kidnapped to where he was. So,
oh, and they didn't
have
their
glasses. Poor eyesight. Yeah.
Actually, you don't want to be the hostage of an OAP, do you? You can imagine you're in the basement and you hear the lock turning, you hear the creak of the stair, you hear them coming down, then you hear them go, "What have I come down here for?" A group of leading economists, actually I believe the collective noun is an apology of leading economists, from the London School of Economics, has suggested that the Queen should request monthly briefings from the Cabinet Office on the state of the economy in order to help the country avoid further financial trouble. Yes, the Queen is being touted as the first line of defence against another financial crisis, which is fine, but the second line of defence is that Alistair Darling says he's discovered a book on alchemy. 2 points to Will, and Will gets an extra point for knowing about the German pensioners. Jeremy, whose birthday went with a bang this week?
Oh, well, it's the 31st anniversary of what is often called the Islamic Revolution in Iran, although, in fact, it was a mass popular uprising which came to be dominated by Islamists. It was, in fact, much broader than that. I'm not going to go as far back as the overthrow of Mossadegh by the CIA in 53, don't worry. But everyone's now very distressed and worried because Iran is edging closer to being nuclear capable because they've got 20% enriched uranium, and people are now quite scared of Iran. Not so much that they could attack us or America, but Iran could attack Israel, except they can't because they don't recognise it. I don't know why they don't recognise Israel. It's the same shape as Palestine, give or take. Mainly take, obviously. He's a worry, Ahmadinejad, even though he doesn't really run the country. He gets all the press. Like Cameron, he's just the sort of smiley, gurning one in the front. He doesn't really know what's going on. It's Al-Khamenei that runs the country.
He's the supreme leader, is he?
Yeah, he's the supreme leader. He's the Diana Ross of the outfit. Ahmadinejad is just a Cindy Bird song.
I always find it confusing whenever Ahmadinejad pops up on TV, because there's always a few seconds where I think, oh, it's that blind opera singer, Andrea Bocelli, dressed as a minicab driver.
I was wondering, with all the sanctions and stuff, who actually gets to split their atoms? You know, who are these people? And then I'd a leaflet through the door saying, "No job too small." So there are people about.
At a rally celebrating Revolution Day, President Ahmadinejad announced that Iran has produced its first stock of enriched uranium, which could pave the way for it to produce a nuclear bomb. I don't understand a lot of the terminology enriched uranium. Mm. Does it not sound like part of a Taste the Difference range?
Yeah.
Fortified uranium help boost your country's natural defences. And I can tell you, at the end of round one, the scores are Andy and Milton have got 4 points, but leaping into the lead are Will and Jeremy with 5. We start round two with a headline from the Ontario Times.
Measures announced for H1N1 virus prevention. All pregnant women urged to get shot.
And our thanks to John Miles for sending us that. Andy, who's rolled out the welcome mat to countries bearing gifts?
Oh, this is Greece. Mm. Greece, scandalous behaviour. They have run up the most colossal debts. They've lied and pretended to have more money than they really had. They're undermining the whole financial system. I mean, who do these people think they are, bankers? And basically what's happening is that they're being asked to bring in an austerity package. They're being asked to cut public spending, to set various fiscal limits, to hire out the Acropolis for wedding receptions. Actually, I said that as a joke. That's quite a good idea.
Nothing but surprise me. Greece currently owes €300 billion to foreign banks. Apparently, Northern Rock are one missed payment from repossessing the Parthenon. So I think
their debt started with the Olympics, not the first Olympics. It doesn't go that far back. I mean, that would be bad. No, it's the 2004 Olympics, so, you know, that bodes well for us.
Yeah, exactly. The trouble is all their collateral's in the British Museum.
But there was lots of demonstrations in the streets of Athens, and there was one slogan, which was like the perfect slogan, because this man had a big banner, and it said, "Greece is not Ireland," which is impossible to argue with. You can't... That is incontrovertible.
I do love the difference between Greek strikers and British. They were shouting in Greece, "No sacrifices for the plutocracy." And we just shout, "Scab." Where's the glamour, is what I think. Yes, apparently the euro is so worthless in Greece, they're currently using it to stuff olives. In return for loans, Athens would have to make commitments to austerity. The Greek government has already created 1,000 jobs gluing back dinner plates smashed at weddings. Milton, who couldn't stand the cheek, so got out of the kitchen?
A restaurant or a hotel in Oxfordshire, one of those gastro restaurants, where they did nice posh food, but the owner objected to what the chef was doing because he said it was too poncy. Mm. Is that the phrase? Mm. And then the chef and his team flounced out. I do a bit of fusion cooking myself. Before I came out, I had a scotch egg on a nest of pot noodle. But on those posh menus there, the word that freaks me out is nestling. Medallions of lamb nestling on a bed of rice. I mean, nestling's an active verb. It's like they're still alive.
Drizzled is the one that you think, oh, no. Yeah. I don't want anything that's been drizzled on, thank you.
He had won a Michelin star, though, hadn't he?
Yes, he got a Michelin star.
3 weeks before, and then was told by the owner your food's too poncy, which must hurt. I mean, that's like winning the Nobel Peace Prize and being told, yeah, can you go and run a paintballing class? Yeah. You know, it's like...
How do you suppose those Michelin expect to stay anonymous? I mean, I think you'd notice a Michelin man in your restaurant.
They'd be wearing a suit. You wouldn't be able to see the tie.
Oh, really? I looked up some of the recipes. One of them is celeriac baked whole in ash, which is served with hazelnuts, wood sorrel, and pork kremeski. Okay, so I had to look this up. Does anybody know what pork kremeski is?
And what's wood sorrel?
Well, I don't know. But
pork kremeski sounds like an American actor with a very badly anglicised Hungarian name.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's pork.
Sounds like a porn act.
Yeah. Or a porn manoeuvre.
Yeah.
It does actually sound like an instruction in a porn
manoeuvre. Yeah.
Can you just pork kremeski for me?
I don't do that, yeah.
We're going to get sued now. If there's any actors with the surname Kremeski.
One of Britain's youngest Michelin-starred chefs has quit his job as head chef at the Goose in Britwell Salumi. Wonderful name. In Oxfordshire, after being told to stop cooking poncy food and start cooking pub grub. Ryan Simpson, formerly of the Goose, only got his Michelin star at the beginning of January, and already he's given up. Oh, it's like a gym membership.
What's the name of this village again?
It's called Britwell Salumi.
Oh, that's the sequel to Midsummer Murders. Isn't right that? There.
Britwell Salumi, bring me the head of John the Baptist, drizzled with a parfait. Fennel Cooley.
It is my only ambition that I have left in my work is to be a murder victim in Midsummer Murders.
Well, we can sort that.
I would just love for the camera to pan round a rose bush and I'm lying there with some secateurs.
Yeah.
Looking rather peaky with something dribbling out of the side of my mouth.
That's most afternoons, Sandy.
Yes, that's right.
Britwell Salumi is a porn name as well. Because your porn name is your first pet and the first road that you lived in, isn't it?
So your first pet
and your mother's maiden.
Oh, so I'm Timmy Trotter. My porn name is Timmy. Actually, I could get a lot of work, couldn't I?
Not a winner. So 2 points to Milton. Will, why are the haves outliving the have-nots?
Oh, this is. Because if you're poor, you live an average of 7 years less than if you're rich. Is that
really?
Yes.
How dreadful for them.
I know. Why don't they just go to more opera? It's a combination of bad diet and obesity and, you know, not
poverty.
Having much to do. Poverty, essentially, yes. Yeah. But poverty apparently is bad for you.
How long did it take them to... Did they...
To work this out.
Yeah. Was it decades and decades? They start off with a baby that they keep in poverty.
Whoa.
Feeding it broken biscuits all its life. And another one they put in a huge mansion house.
So he seems happier.
And see how long they live.
But it's a report commissioned by the Ministry of Health. Have they not got people who are sick that they need to...
I bet they used mice. They'll have used mice.
Or Scotland. The thing they usually use, isn't it?
Well, I have to say, I didn't understand this report at all. The gap between rich and poor. I thought that's the shop between M&S and Primark, but...
They say you should live every day as if it was your last. But to be honest, I think the milkman's getting a bit fed up with me cancelling the milk.
I live every day as though it was my last. I just lie in bed all day, slipping in and out of consciousness.
A report commissioned by the Ministry of Health warns that affluent people live on average 7 years longer than those in poorer groups. This is great news for Porsche dealers, the antiquarian book industry and the Aga Marketing Board. The poor not only die sooner, they spend more of their lives with a disability, confirmed the report's author, Charles Dickens. 2 points to Will. Jeremy, cheats never prosper, but how might snitches make riches?
This is really horrible. The government's latest bit of pre-election eye candy is trying to turn the working class into grasses. They want to pay people to dob in their neighbours for claiming benefits unjustifiably. Not only are they encouraging them to do it with a sense of just, you know, public-spirited vindictiveness, but but they'll reward them. They'll get a percentage of the money saved. This, apparently, is designed to appeal to the white working class. What low opinion the government must have of white working class people. They assume they've already got black and Asian working class people in the bag. They'll vote for us anyway. It's the whites we've got to concentrate on. And what do they like? Pitchforks. That's what they like. Yes.
You get a percentage.
You know, derisory amount, the 35 quid a week that the person's not entitled to, you'll get 75p of that.
But then
in return
presumably...
for spending all your days sitting in your window with binoculars saying, oh, phoning the government saying, the one at 73 is up to no good. She's no better than she should be, that one. For her hat and no knickers, I reckon. And then the armed response squad will be right around there and find some hummus in her fridge and shoot her in the head.
It was all in a government white paper called How to Destroy a Community in 5 Minutes. I mean, it's astonishing.
I'm trying to understand this. If I call up and say I'm thinking of falsely claiming disability benefit, would I get 10% of the money I've saved on that? I like this, OK. The National Benefit Fraud Helpline in England is open from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. And the Welsh Benefit Fraud Helpline is open from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Yes. So if you're looking for benefit cheats, I'd start with a nation that gets up an hour later than everybody else. So... Also, did you see this? It's estimated that 39 million Chinese, that's 3% of the population, are paid informants. There was a Chinese police chief who claimed to use 12,000 spies to inform on an area of just 400,000...
That's expenses scam. He's got three.
Besides, Chinese whispers are notoriously unreliable.
It is still astonishing. It's one spy to 33 people. We can't even get our teacher-to-pupil ratio that low. People who inform on benefit cheats could be given a share of the resulting savings under proposals being examined by Labour's manifesto team. The plan has been suggested by the Labour Party in Scotland, where benefit is currently claimed by 5 in every 4 people. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along, Mr. Hamilton.
This is the telephone message that is on when you dial the local surgery of Christine Walker. And it says, in a very measured voice, "This machine does not record messages. Please listen to the whole message. The practice is now closed, but should you require a doctor for an emergency or medical advice, please phone 0555-0303. Alternatively, you could visit the walk-in centre located in the grounds of Solihull Hospital, Lode Lane, or phone them on 0217-09711. That is 0217 097711. They are open 7 days a week between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. If, however, you suspect you are having a heart attack... please dial 999 for an ambulance.
Mr. Jones.
This is a notice on London Transport's Central Line. Suspended between Leytonstone and Liverpool Street due to a signal failure at Stratford. Severe delays are occurring on the rest of the line. And underneath a little bit it says, see how we're transforming the tube.
Mr. Smith.
This is from the Western Morning News, and somebody's written in about a particularly snowy pavement and said, it is also essential to dress up appropriately when taking the dog for a walk. I have only fallen once and we have lost one of the dog's balls. Never mind, we know which field it is in, so we'll find it after the thaw.
Mr. Hardy.
This was sent in by Phil Davis, who's in Brisbane, Australia. What the hell are you doing listening to our new satirical programmes in Australia? Listen to your own. And it's from the GCHQ website, advertising applications for jobs. GCHQ is heavily dependent on its use of technology in order to execute its vital intelligence mission. An increasingly rapidly changing digital world demands a furious pace of innovation in our technical systems. We achieve this with the support of modern technologies, the right skills and an appetite to learn. Please submit a CV in Word format. Please note at present we do not have the software to read Word 2007 documents.
Let's take a look at the final score. Andy and Milton have got 8 points, but this week's winners are Will and Jeremy with 10. Sure. Before we leave you, here is a cutting from the Daily Telegraph sent in by Philip Ferris.
A prisoner with an artificial leg has escaped from court after throwing away his crutches, running 200 metres and then leaping over a wall and two garden fences. A court official said that the prisoner, who was not handcuffed, was a very good actor.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Andy Hamilton, Milton Jones, Will Smith and Jeremy Hardy. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig and the news was read by me, Carolyn Brown. The chair's script was written by Lucy Clark, Rodri Crooks and John Luke Roberts, with additional material by Nathan Caton and Gareth Gwynn. The producer was Sam Bryant.